Ja, velkommen til en ny episode av Drinkfeed, og denne gangen skal vi til Frankrike. Vi skal snakke om cognac, og det skal vi gjøre på engelsk. Så sånn er det. So I'm sitting here with Charles Brostad from the house of De La Maine, and Charles, your name is quite a household name here in Norway when it comes to cognac, and welcome to our podcast.
Yes, well, thank you, Tom. I'm very happy to be with you and to tell you a little bit more about De La Maine and a little bit more about myself, maybe first. Yes, my name is Charles Brastad, as we say in France. It's indeed Brosta. My grandfather was Norwegian and my great-grandfather set up in cognac a long time ago in the 19th century. So there is a lot of Brosta in the cognac world. My grandfather, Christian Brosta, married Mademoiselle De La Maine. So that's why I'm doing Cognac De La Maine and not another cognac. So I feel really Norwegian when I'm in Oslo, but unfortunately I don't speak a word of Norwegian. And I'm now completely French for two generations. But I'm very happy to be there and to come and to tell you about De La Maine, which is an old company. And we are celebrating this year our 200-year anniversary. So the company has been established in 1824. So we are celebrating this huge anniversary for us. And it's a good opportunity for me to travel a little bit more than usually and to come in different country, to go to different country. And I start my long journey with Norway. It's my first masterclass and first meeting with journalists and talking about the bicentenary. So it's very exciting. So I brought some cognac with me. That's the good news.
Yeah, I've been waiting for that because of course the La Maine is quite a well-known brand already. And we have had a few tastings also here in Drinkfeed before. But this time you have brought something special, of course, because you are talking about a 200-year celebration, and I expect to have a bit of a celebrational cognac that you have brought with you.
Yes, actually we are celebrating a couple of things this year because it's also a transition of cellar master. I have a new position as a cellar master. I'm working with De La Maine for 28 years, and I've been working with Dominique Tuteau, the previous cellar master, for 28 years. I've been doing all the tasting we had together, and I took his position as he's retired. He retired earlier this year. So it's very exciting position. I will keep traveling to tell about cognac, but I'm also mostly working in the cellar and making sure that the blend tastes the same and that I'm finding the rare cask we are bottling and from time to time creating some new edition and some very, very special edition like the one we work on and we create with Dominique a couple of months ago for this edition rare du bicentenaire, which is actually going to be released very soon. There is not too much picture yet, but you will find it on the social media very soon. And it's actually, we work on a special blend, and we inspire ourselves from the previous De La Maine, who were cellar master before me. So we select Demijohns in our cellar, which have been selected and aged by my predecessor, by my father, by my uncle, by my other uncle, by all five generations of cellar master De La Maine. And we, with Dominique, we had to find the right balance because it's very difficult actually to blend those very old cognac, which are some have been staying 50 years in cask, some 80, some have stayed 30 years in demijohns after having stayed 80 years in cask. So this is quite frightening when you think about that, to play and to blend those cognac, because they have a full history, they have a lot of character and individuality. But what we try to do is to achieve something which is a little bit higher than each individual one. So some are really elegant, some are quite rich, and some are very spicy. So it was a matter to find the right balance. So I didn't bring the final blend with me because it will be revealed later. It will be we created a special decanter, not a decanter, demijohn actually, a 10-liter demijohn, which has been decorated by a Parisian goldsmith called Gossens. It's a house who work a lot with Chanel. It's part of the artisan work with Chanel. So it's a great guys who have a lot of sense of aesthetic and artisana. And they create this really wonderfully decorated demijohns, inspired by the story of Delamain. Lots of my ancestors were very close to nature, to birds, to butterfly. They wrote books about ornithology, orchids, wild orchids. So we inspired ourselves from this world which surrounds us, the vineyard and around the house of Delamain. And they took some of the birds and leaves and trees and they created this wonderful decoration around the demijohn. So this will be sold on auction at Bonhams in December. So be ready.
keep your wallet open.
Sell your halves.
I've read the background on that special cognac you're talking about, and the price for you guys out there who's interested, it's around 60,000 Norwegian kroners per bottle. So you have to work for it, and you have to ask special for it.
But that's the price for the 200 bottle we release. But that's the simple bottle. The damage. And the demijohn, the 10 liter, will be much more expensive, and it will be sold on auction. So there is two things: there is the demijohn sold on auction, and there is the 200 bottle, which also have a decoration which is inspired by the work Bossens did, which are very nicely designed bottle, and they will be available. To purchase.
Yeah, so if you don't are lucky with the auction and you miss out the opportunity, you can still get the little bottle for only 60,000 kroners. Well, I know that you have brought with you some of the cognac that are based for the Jubileum cognac, but we shouldn't start there. You want to show me something else? Shall we try to have a little tasting?
Yeah, sure. Well, I came with those special cognac. We don't want to release the full blend, so we will just show like teaser. We'll show those very old cognac. I have actually two bottles of cognac with me today. I have a cognac who come from a demijohn from 1914. Which was selected and aged by my father, Alain Brastad, who spent 40 years at Delamain. And this cognac, distilled in 1914, has been aged in a 600-liter cask. So actually it took longer than it should have if it was a regular 350-liter cask. It took 81 years to mature this cognac. And it has been bottled into a demijohn by my father in 1995 when he thought the cognac was ready. Because there is a point where the cognac will continue to mature, but there is a point where it will go a little bit too far and there will be too much wood in the cognac and it will destroy a little bit the all the elegance and the fruit and the finesse which have been developed during all those years. So there is a point where you have to say, I'm going to stop the maturation, I'm going to mummify the cognac and I transfer it into the demijohn, the glass bottle. So that's the first cognac, and you have to imagine what was 1914. It's really... first, it's a mythical year because lots of collectioners of cognac call that year the ladies' vintage, because the valid men were doing the war and the woman did the harvest and the distillation. So this cognac is very elegant. I don't know if it's because it has been made by ladies, but we have this incredible taste and finesse with this cognac, which is amazing when you think when it has been done. I have another story about this cognac. It was my father's favorite. So he didn't have a huge collection of cognac at home, but he had always a bottle of 1914, which was in a plain, very old bottle, but with no label, just a stopper and a bottle. And I remember one time one of his friends, which was an English journalist, wine and spirit journalist. And I remember this this English after the dinner getting very excited to discover what Monsieur Brastad was going to serve him as a cognac. And my father was playing with him, and he was really saying, "I don't know, we drank a lot of wine. I don't know if it's reasonable to have a cognac now." And the journalist was really impatient and getting really cranky about that. And it was a little game, because my father always considered that he was so lucky to have this 1914, because there has been so many of his predecessors who keep it for him. And I think I have always the same impression when I pour one of these cognac. I say, how lucky we are that nobody sold it or drink it before us. It's because those cognac were fantastic when they were 50, 60 years old, 70 years old, 80 years old. It could have been bottled in 2000, in the year 2000, 2010, 2020. No, we wait until 2024. So it's that's the magic of cognac, really.
Well, 110 years is no age for cognac, actually. It's very nice. But I'm so fascinated that you actually have a cognac that was made the same year as the war broke out. And we're talking about the First World War.
Yes.
It's a tremendous point in history for France.
Yes,
I can imagine.
Yes. Actually, I have another story about the Delamain themselves at that time, James and Robert Delamain, actually Jacques and Robert Delamain, Robert Delamain being my great-grandfather. They were soldiers. Jacques was a male nurse during the war, and he was also the ornithologist. So he wrote about birds, and he published in the 50s, in one of his books a chapter about his war diary. And he's a soldier in the trenches in the north of France, with his helmet and his gun. You can imagine that from the film you're seeing, that he was there, and he's describing the bird he's hearing. So every morning I got the blackbird singing, and it's 7:30, and there is a finch, and there is a robin, and all chapter is description of bird in the chaos and in between two bombshells. He's not mentioning the war, but you feel he's there, and he's got his strength from this observation of bird, and then because he has something else to think about. So that's really it brings something when you taste this cognac, you think, wow, this cognac has been made by those guys who were for 3-4 years in the front at the war, and it was really a tough one.
Gives you the goosebumps all the way. Yeah. Shall we get to it?
Oh, of course. So I'm going to open. It's actually a small sample of 50 CL. And we have 1914. So, okay, let's small sample. And show you the label, voilà. And we're going to taste it here. Well, I don't think you can hear the glou-glou, as we say in French, but the glou-glou is the noise made by the cognac when it falls in the glass. But it's a very nice cognac. It's not especially dark. It's quite clear. At Delamain, we never use young wood, new cask oak. So our cognac are usually very pale. Actually, this is why we call our XO pale and dry, because we have this habit to use old cask and not to add any caramel to our cognac. So it's a natural pale cognac color. All our cognac at Delamain are selected in Grand Champagne. Grand Champagne being the premier cru du cognac, so the first region, the region which will produce the most elegant and the most fine cognac, which will be the most suitable to be aged. And this cognac, so I told you, 81 years in a cask, in a big cask, 600 liter, and then transfer into demijohn. So it's a long story you have here in the nose. It's incredibly fresh, incredibly vivid. You know, it's a cognac which is alive. It's so, so young. And then it's a really, really intense cognac where you have a lot of complex aroma. It's a lot of fruits. You have a nuttiness.
Yes, and it's quite it's a bit of a floral
You get white flowers in the beginning, and then it turned to a darker fruit, cooked fruit, some orange marmalade maybe.
Oh, it's wonderful. I could just sit here and smell it all day.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
It's wonderful.
And these very old cognac don't really everything they have immediately. So you have to pour them maybe 5-10 minutes before you start to smell, to know them. And then you have to follow them. So it's not a cognac you just drink like that and
it's
cold.
It's not a shot. It's not for shotting.
Not exactly the shot. So this cognac is very important. So I told you for this bicentenaire edition that we created, we have those five cognac from five vintage, different vintage. 1914 being one which will bring a lot of elegance, finesse from the Grand Champagne. They are all Grand Champagne, of course, but they have all different personality. And this one is really a fantastic cognac. So that was a nosing. So shall we take a drop of it? So to really my little tip of the day, if you want to taste cognac properly and not to get aggressed by the alcohol or anything like that, especially at 10 o'clock in the morning like we are today, it's first, you don't swirl the glass, you don't shake the glass, you don't need that. It's not a wine. You can just turn the glass a little bit just to awake the cognac. And then when you drink it, it's better actually to take a little drop of it and to chew it, to keep it in the mouth. And then your saliva is going to reduce the strength of alcohol. We are here at 45%. So it's a nice to have a little reduction, natural reduction. And then the cognac is going to vanish and to evaporate in the mouth. And it's going to stay there for quite a long time. That's really the distinctive taste of the Grand Champagne and of the Delamain. It's the length of it. It's going to last. And you will be home tonight. You will still have a little bit of 1914 thing in your mouth. Wow, I'm still there. I'm still there. I'm still releasing my power and my fragrance. So, Skol, let's have a try.
And I'll try to follow your recipe with how to taste,
mm-hmm.
But I can't let go of the smell. It's I still have to have the nose on it. Yeah. So
really, the fruit is a main characteristic. Of course, you can describe a lot of fruit, and you can start a list of fruit. I tend to be really sober in my description. It's about length. And when we taste with my colleagues, or when I was tasting with Dominique Tuto, we were not really discussing a lot. It was more very, very short description, like the length, how round it is, how short it is, or, you know, all that kind of description. We are not going into lychees and passion fruit, and that's more for the folklore. But we really, when you tasting cognac, you want to understand the structure of it. And the first thing you have to do when you are cellar master is to search for any defect. It's a bit frustrating sometimes, because you think, well, all those fantastic cognac, but no, I'm always looking for something which is not right, a little dust, a little wet smell, something which is not frank or something like that. And then I have to discard that. And when I arrive not to be critic to a cognac, that's when I will keep it and I will use it. So it's...
Okay, so you're starting backwards with not finding the nice things. You look for the... For the faults.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's a very bad habit.
I have to say that this 1914 is so rich. It's so rich, and it's not that that it's full of fruit and perfume and stuff. It's very rich. It's had a very complex taste, and it has this lovely dryness to it. It's cleansing your palate more than it's embalming it. It's very hard to describe actually the fullness of it, but it's and as you say, it's ridiculously long. It's still growing.
I mean, your description, and I like the fact you know that this dryness. This is something, again, we go back to the pale and dry, and the dryness of our cognac. It's a natural dryness. It's a dryness you will find in a cask. You know, you can add legally some syrup into the cognac. It's part of the legal thing to do with the cognac. We don't at Delamain, we don't add any sugar. This is why we call our cognac pale and dry, no caramel, no sugar. And we try to look and to show the natural sweetness of the cognac, because it comes naturally. It will be there. You just need to wait enough. So, of course, not all our cognac have 80 years old of aging, but if you wait the long time, you will have this natural sugar coming from the cask, from the wood, and it will be there. And then once you get used to that, you can discover, you know, it's like when you drink coffee and you stop putting coffee, sugar cube in your coffee, and you put one, and at the end you stop completely. Well, you can't go back. There is no return. You can't go back to sugar. It's finished. You like coffee. Right? It's the same thing with cognac. If you start to like cognac without added sugar, you will discover a new world, and it's actually what we like to do. So, yes. It's naturally sweet. It doesn't stick. It's a sweetness that you said it very well. The mouth is clean, but very, very, very long.
Small moment of contemplation there.
Yes, a little bit of silence.
You also brought much younger or relatively younger cognac from the... We are jumping ahead until after the next war.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, it's actually younger. In vintage, it's 1947, which also stay not so long in a cask. It's has been bottled in 1995 also, not bottled but put in a demijohn. But it's a completely different character. You will see. So it's also Grand Champagne. I'm pouring the second glass. You see, it's a bit darker.
Yeah, it's more colorful to use that that phrase.
There is a big difference with 1914, just by the... We actually never talk about the color. I don't know. Well, we describe it as pale, but you can have a very dark cognac, which is not very old, and you can be a very fantastic...
So the color
cognac
is not telling you nothing?
So the light of the cognac is good, because you don't want to have a cloudy cognac. You don't want to have a... you need to have this clarity and then this lightness, this light. But you can have a 2 years old cognac, which is very dark, and just because there is some caramel in it. But it's not. Well, what we can consider is the tear when you turn the glass and you have those tears falling on the glass. You can judge the thickness of the cognac, and that's a sign of age. Not only, but it's a good sign. If you have a nice color, nice light, nice tears, as we call them. But the best tool for cognac is nose.
Always use your nose. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And of course, this is something totally different. But still, you can. I would put it in the same family.
Yes.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
But they are related in a way with the smell.
Yeah, they are related for different reasons. They are Grand Champagne, so they are coming from the same terroir. They have been selected and aged by Delamain, aged in our cellars. So we know we have those 18th century cellar in Jarnac near the river. They are quite humid, so they follow this same kind of cask, also old cask in this. So there is a lot of that because there is no blend, so there is no way we can change what they are, and we didn't try to do that. It's 1947, which is a 1947, which has been distilled and coming from the pot still. So it's big nose. It's really completely much different. So bigger nose. It's bolder. There is more spice. More. It's more on the wood part than the first one. The 1914 is more on the fruit, white flowers and fruit. And this one is more on spice, chocolate. It's really, really
intense. Yeah, I would say almost leathery. It's sort of almost a hint of tobacco in here.
Yes. Yeah. Cigar box. We call it.
This is more masculine sort of approach, mm-hmm. actually. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because all the girls made the first one.
You're not allowed to say that anymore.
Well, I'm still doing it.
No, I use, in families, you can have if you have a bunch of son, you can have one which is tennis player and the other one will play rugby. Well, those this is a kind of characteristic. We have one golfer, one tennis, one man with the 1914, and the 47 is more the rugby player and the tough guy.
It's more butch in a way, but it still have a certain elegance.
Of course, it's going to last for very long. It's going to release the fruit will come after a while. After first you have the spice, but after you will have the prunes, plum, and those stone fruits. But you can imagine just by tasting two cognac like that, you can imagine really it's going to give a good structure, and they will bring something different to the blend. This is something which is, well, it's fantastic ingredients to have a nice recipe. But be aware that if you put too much 1947, you will kill the 1914. So if you want to keep the elegance and to bring to stay in that line, you have to work your proportion, and you have to do several tries to make sure that the 47 is there and be the backbone of the blend, but not overwhelm everything. So this is really important.
I'm beginning to understand why you have a certain ave when you started to blend with all this old connection. Mm-hmm. And as you said before that, it wasn't an easy task to start with.
No, but it's a fantastic opportunity. You have to understand that when I joined the company in 1996, I had a tour with Dominique Tuteau. And we pass in front of the demijohn, and he showed me, well, here you have 1893, here you have 1847, here is a 1914, and so. And he told me, well, only the Stella Master can taste those. So I had to wait 28 years or nearly before I could actually put my nose on those casks. So, and I mean, we receive so many people who want to get those casks and who are ready to spend a lot of money in those demijohns, and it's something we never use, we never bottle them, we really keep them pressure. And it's really the excuse of the bicentenary is fantastic for us and for me, because I had to play with those, and I could make this 200 bottle plus the demijohn, which it's good celebration moment.
While you were describing your the road towards being a cellar master, I had a taste on the 47, and it's of course a totally different taste. I was expecting a more richer, more maybe fruitier sort of cognac, and it is of course rich. You can smell it. But also the fruits are there. There are more, even if it's still complex. It's not that lean, elegant dryness to it. It's coming, but it's before that. It's telling you that, hey, I'm here. I'm filling your mouth, and you can't get away from this. And it's just talking to you in a special way, I think.
Yeah, it's indeed. So we have three other cognac. So I'm not going to disclose the other ones, but they are completely different, and they all bring something different like that. It's a true experience. And really, when you come to us and we have visit, I'm happy to welcome everybody at Delamain. We open a couple of casks, and we try to show that in fact all those casks are different, all those cognac. You can imagine, you know, people think XO is the world, it's everything. No, XO is just the entry door to the world of cognac. But you can taste so many differences. There is so much variety just staying in the Grand Champagne region. Then once you have discovered the Grand Champagne, you can go and have a little visit in Borderie or in Petit Champagne, and you will find another world. This is what is fantastic with cognac. Just staying in the cognac category, you can discover so many different styles, and every house has a style. We choose this path. We choose this Grand Champagne and this dryness, lightness, also elegance. But some other cognac producers are producing cognac which are completely different, and they couldn't be also fantastic. And it's this is what I want to promote also, is to say, okay, guys, open bottles, drink, taste different cognac, and you will see there is a huge variety of cognac. You can have fun.
So you don't have to drink Delamain, but you're allowed to try other houses as well.
Exactly. Just come back to us sometime, from time to time, and I'm happy.
You have brought with you a very beautiful bottle there, I see, with the gold and engravings and everything.
Yeah, it's a cognac we released Earlier this year or at the end of the last year. It's called L'Oiseau Rare, so meaning in French, a rare bird. It's a tribute to Jacques Delamain, again, the ornithologist, and it's also a French expression, a rare bird for something or some people who are really exceptional. So I have this this image of Dominique Tuteau coming back from the country with sample of cognac, and he's opening my office door, and he say, Charles, I think I find some rare bird. And all those cognac he collect during 30 years of being a cellar master, he kept some very special cognac, and we decided to do a blend with that. So we're not talking about bicentenaire anymore. This is a cognac which is added to the regular line. It's a blend of old cognac between 55, 60, 65 years old. So they have achieved their maturity. They have reached the apogee. And we wanted to show a very elegant, very old blend. So we created this special decanter, which is engraved with a couple of birds. It's actually birds that you can find in our garden, in the vineyard. And it's a bird which have been described by Jacques Delamain in a book called Portrait d'Oiseau. And it's also a fantastic cognac. And I can talk, but maybe you won't taste it.
You are talking, and I want to taste it.
So we are in another world, and it's a cognac which is much more paler. Go back to the. It's a heavy.
Yeah, I can hear it. It's like a weightlifting device.
Voilà.
Beautiful.
So here we are in a blend of old cognac, and we are really aiming for showing the purity of old Grand Champagne. So you have to forget, and you have to erase the 1947.
Yeah,
it's not that world anymore. It's like a very, very old pale and dry. You've got the finesse. You've got the lots of fruit.
It has so rich and fruity nose, but still it's something behind it. And I can't just describe it really.
For me, there is flowers in the beginning. Then there is those... peach, apricot, and then the leather, the spice, very nice, gentle spice come after that. Some almond also, cardamom, orange maybe.
I went ahead of you. I had to taste this, and it's, as you said, it's a total different world, because in my head, someone has been thinking a lot when they blended
yes.
this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very considerate, and it's so rich, and it's still the alcohol here is going with the taste. And normally I would say, well, that's a bit much, but this has a purpose, and it's driving the taste through your mouth. And as I talk now, still coming new expressions in. It's lovely. I think you have to take over.
So it's a 42% alcohol, and. Of course, that doesn't show on this. This is really, really soft and easy to drink. Unfortunately, it's really easy to drink.
Yeah, it has a taste that says you need more.
You need more, indeed. What can I tell you about L'Oiseau Rare? It's a cognac which is going to evolve. It's nice to see it against or next to the unblended cognac, the single cask cognac like we had earlier, because you really see the difference, and you really see what blend can bring. The fullness of this cognac, the fullness in the sense that there is every aspect of the cognac, and there is from the lightest to the more complex aroma. When, of course, the two vintage I showed you before are more going in one direction only, and they are not as complete as this blend, of course. So it would be for a different occasion, maybe a little bit earlier in the evening, or in a very nice, after a very refined meal, in a very nice crystal glass. And it's a very sophisticated cognac.
Oh, indeed. It is. This is not a pour me another, I don't care cognac. You have to use it as a means for conversation or thinking, or it's just accessory for yes. a very nice time.
I like the word conversation, and it's a nice one we have just now. But it's also a characteristic of the Delamain, of my ancestor. They especially I was talking about Jacques and Robert during the 20s and the 30s, 1920s, 1930s. They had a brother called Maurice. He was not working in the company. He was in Paris, and he had a publishing house, and he published a novel and French and British. And he had a lot of people coming to his house in Cognac. And he was bringing painter, poets, novelist, writers. And there were those smart people coming to the Delamain table. And they had those discussions. It was not talking, they were not talking, but they were drinking cognac and talking about life, about poesy and some fantastic. And this is something we want to reproduce, and we try to have this feeling, and this is a kind of a cognac we produce. Our label are quite talkative, and we explain, and we want people to ask questions and to interrogate, to ask themselves why is it different, why there is a vintage on the bottle, what is this Grand Champagne, how do they do that, why do they reduce at 42 and not 40%, why this cognac is at 40. So there is a lot of subject of conversation with our bottle, and I like this idea of people who are thinking what they are drinking.
Charles, it's been a pleasure talking to you and having you here at DrinkFeed. And I think for you listeners, you have to go out there and expand your knowledge and expand your mind about cognac as a drink, because it's sadly it's declining in sales. And I think even though Norway is still on top or the consuming chain, it's still a rather worrying development on the cognac side. But this little session has been very nice for me, and so happy to that you come to Oslo today and join us. Thank you very much.
Merci. Thank you very much.